everybody. Jonathan Dorr with you once again. Welcome aboard. Thanks for the pleasure of your company. I know that many of you are going to be hearing my voice going, where have you been? It's been a long time, huh? It has. It's, gosh, what a interesting few months, you know, year it's been for most of us. I know that we've all had such a range of experiences, some better, some worse, but here we are, and I hope I can bring you something today that's going to be a blessing to you. I think we truly do need plenty of encouragement, right? I think there's something about just being human that we need hope, we need encouragement. So I'm back on the air. Let's hope I can get some traction going. I've been doing a lot of different things. First of all, a little update. I had a great sort of break over the Christmas, New Year's period. Karen hasn't seen her family for a long time with all of the changes, so we managed to go and spend some really fantastic time with her family. I felt really spoiled in terms of where we stayed on the coast. Got to do a huge amount of riding and just loved that, and really used that time as well for learning, for just getting some great audio books. And before everybody freaks out, am I listening to audiobooks while riding? Yes, I am, but I have bone conducting headphones so I can hear everything around me. Have you seen these things? Yeah, they go over your ears, like over the sides of them, and the sound goes through your jawbone. It's amazing. You can hear everything. Hear that car coming up behind you. But very spoiled, got a lot of training in, got some great time with family and friends. And hey, remember, in the twilight of your life, always remember, when your life draws to a close, you will not be wishing you had spent more time in the office. You'll be wishing you spent more time with the people that are most important to you. So we're feeling very blessed in that sense. Had some more family down here the last few days, which has been great. And today is my youngest daughter's birthday. So we're celebrating her birthday today, and just a lot of gratitude for her. She's a huge personality. Of my three children, my eldest is like a carbon copy of me, personality-wise, both introverts, believe it or not. My youngest is not. She's off the extreme end of extroversion and a lot of fun. So really celebrating her today, and I encourage you as well just to be grateful for the people that you have in your family. You know, I was just thinking over the weekend about a guy that tragically died a few years ago, a guy that I used to ride with. Didn't know him very well, but you know, rode with him a few times. He's a little bit older than me and had, you know, kids in high school, had two daughters in high school, and just had a freak accident on the bike. Wasn't even going fast. The front of his bike just snapped. He'd bought some new handlebars and they weren't that good, and just a tragedy. And he died at, you know, the most unusual freak accident. And I say that because, you know, we never know, right? How many times have you heard me say in the podcast, my accident back in October 2019 taught me that our lives can be taken from us super fast. So, you know, always value those people closest to you, right? Because we don't get to write the script. We never know what can happen. So I guess this brings me to part of what I want to talk about today, which is this crucial concept of living in the present moment. I think it's always been a very central aspect of being human. And I think it's more important perhaps than it has been that we remind ourselves of it. Why? Because with the whole COVID thing, with the whole pandemic thing, look, I think we were an anxious culture before that. I think the complexity of modern life and the demands and stresses of day-to-day existence were exhausting for many of us. But then you throw in a pandemic and all the effects and changes that it's had. I know some people are employed in the public sector, so you've had security and employment, but many of us haven't. So we're dealing with fear, right? We're dealing with uncertainty. We're dealing with what's going to happen. Is a vaccine going to change everything? But what about the next pandemic and the next one? And I think the first thing we have to do is accept life on its own terms. I think part of the problem with our modern world is that we want to guarantee safety. You know, we want safe spaces. We want guaranteed that nothing bad will ever happen to us, that we'll never be offended, that we'll never be hurt, we'll never experience loss. Well, I don't know what book of life some people have been reading, but it doesn't seem to go that way. It's good to remind ourselves, you know, in some ways how little control we have. I think there's a lot of suffering in life that comes from, I guess, wading through life, assuming that we're in control, and it doesn't seem to be that way. I've often talked about the books of Michael Singer, who I really liked, became incredibly successful businessman, but a real hippie, loved his meditation, real alternative guy. And just his life sort of theory was he just kept saying yes and going with the flow and stopped trying to control everything. It's really interesting to read it that, you know, we all seem to assume that if we can get everything done, if we can get everything settled, we're going to be at peace and happy. But part of the mystery of life is just its unpredictability. So what I wanted to do today is talk a little bit about the present moment, because in COVID, right, in this whole journey we're on, there's a lot of uncertainty, yeah? A lot of uncertainty. How do you deal with that? So I'm reading a book at the moment called Becoming a King. It's by a guy called Morgan Snyder, and I like it. It's got a lot of good stuff in there. And so I've been getting up even earlier than normal and reading each morning while the house is nice and quiet. And this was a quote that really stuck with me this morning. I wanted to share with you. He says, "Few things have more power to help us cultivate a life-giving habit of soul than unhinging our emotional life from outcomes and renouncing the idolatry of success as our meaning as a man or a woman." Okay, listen to this one more time. I'll do it quickly. "Few things have more power to help us cultivate a life-giving habit of soul than unhinging our emotional life from outcomes and renouncing the idolatry of success as our meaning as a man or a woman." This really spoke to me, and I want to just unpack it with you for a second. I think that a lot of our emotional turmoil and stress and anxiety and depression comes from linking our emotional happiness, our emotional life, our inner life, to a whole bunch of outcomes that we believe must happen. And when we think those outcomes aren't going to happen, then I think that's what jacks up anxiety and often hopelessness and despair and depression and a whole bunch of other stuff. And related to it is the other part of his quote where he says that we've got to unhook our emotional life from the idolatry, which is the worshipping of a false god, the idolatry of success. And I think, again, that's embedded in our culture, isn't it? We're all like, you know, if we have this much money, we have this experience, then we will be happy and our emotional life is going to be okay. So last night I had a strange experience, which is relatively rare for me these days. I couldn't sleep, and I'm lying there and I'm sort of, you know, and I'm good at this. I'm much better than I used to be at managing my thought life and my thinking and my stress. But I found myself like, you know, like you've probably been at some point, lying awake, wanting to be asleep, but thinking and worrying about different things. And that's why this quote's so important, that my emotional life, my peace, was linked to being convinced and assured that certain things were going to happen. Now, the things that I need to feel emotional peace are going to be different for you, right? Like, we're going to have very different lives, no doubt. And for you, it could be money or your kids or relationships or work or study. Or who knows? We're all going to have something different. We all, you know, in general, we gravitate to some of the same big things, but how it plays out in your life is going to be distinctive to you. So, imagine if your emotional life was impervious to outcomes. And all I'm talking about here is something that most of the great faith traditions have always talked about. You know, there's a reason that the great Christian prayer, the Our Father, says, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's not a prayer that says, "Please give us tomorrow's bread today." I like to say, people, that there's only ever grace given for one day. You don't get the grace for Wednesday on a Tuesday. You get Tuesday's grace on Tuesday. So whether it's, you know, you look at a lot of the Eastern religions focusing upon, you know, the presence, practicing the power of the present moment, being in the now. We hear that, don't we? We've all heard that. Mindfulness, being in the now. It's a lovely idea, but how many of us are living it? And I think you have to kind of suffer enough before you're finally ready to do it. And some people can do it easily. Kids kind of do it. I think that's why Jesus meant, you know, that unless you, you know, when Jesus said, unless you become like little children, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Of all the things he could have said, why'd he say that? Because kids live in the now. They live in the now. My daughter is having a birthday and she ain't thinking about tomorrow. She's thinking about today. And I think that's something that could be incredibly helpful for us all in these COVID times, that our emotional life needs to be unhooked from guaranteed outcomes and from success, however we may have defined it. You know, many of you know, my speaking career basically ended with COVID. You know, I was due in Baltimore for a huge keynote that I was so excited to do. We had another 10,000 people there, and that's gone. And I don't think I was building that as success. I get a lot of joy out of doing those sessions, but I realized that my happiness in life could no longer be linked to certain markers of success, right? So I want you to do this for me. I want you to think about and be really honest, how much of your emotional unhappiness comes from not experiencing a set of outcomes that you may not even be that conscious of? Some of you are. Some of you will be like, well, for me to be happy, Jonathan, I have to marry this perfect person and I have to have this much money and I need to live here. I know somebody like that. There's somebody I know who really struggles with this. They have a lot of great stuff in their life, a lot of great stuff. If you saw them from the outside, you'd be like, this is amazing. But they struggle with never enough, never enough. It's just not, they're not exactly what they where they want to be. So they can't have peace, they can't have happiness until they meet this outcome that they've created. I remember Tony Robbins talking about this years ago. He was working with a billionaire. This billionaire was struggling with massive depression because, you know, they'd set up a rule. It was a lady, and she had this rule her whole life that she was going to be married and meet this particular person and they'd have kids and the kids would love them and never leave them. And she'd never met the right person and she didn't have kids and she'd become a lot older and she wasn't able to have kids. Then she was dealing with this great sense of despair and depression. Why? Because she'd constructed her emotional happiness based on a particular outcome. And when she couldn't get that outcome, she couldn't get the happiness that she wanted. So what do you do? What do you do when life literally takes that outcome away? You got to go read Eddie Jaku's book, The Happiest Man in the World. I mean, that's just crazy. I listened to the audiobook version and it blew my hair back, remaining hair back. You know, that he came out of Auschwitz and then just he struggled for a year or two, but then he just made this great leap that he could no longer make his happiness dependent on his past or his current circumstances. He just learned to unhook his emotions from outcomes. So there you go. Hope that's useful. If you're experiencing some unhappiness, look there first. It's hard. You know, I've done it. I've definitely spent many years of life driving towards outcomes that I assumed were going to make me happy. And there's been a lot of great stuff. But I think what really makes us happy is relationships, enough financial security to not be, you know, in a terrible state, deep relationships, family, beauty, nature, joy, hobbies, just cool stuff like that. So push towards that. Don't accept the cultural project that you're only allowed to be happy when X happens. You know, we're a consumer-driven culture. That's, you know, it's like Churchill said, capitalism is the worst system ever invented, except for every other system that's ever been tried. I like to say capitalism is the least worst system. It's a system that, you know, has done amazing things in the world, but we are a consumer culture and we do get bombarded all day, every day with images and pictures and songs and words and billboards and advertising that says, if you just consume this, you, my friend, will be happy. How's that working for you so far? Anyway, all right, what else? So look, final update from me, doing what I do, training like a freak. I rode 550 kilometers last week. In 5 days. It was the best because the kids are on holidays, so I just got more free time and I just went out and bombed it every day. 550 kilometers in 5 days. Awesome. And I think I did about 5 kilometers of vertical climbing in that. So I just want to say I'm 47 years of age, and if I can do that, you can too. Not saying you should, but I do want everybody listening to be encouraged. My wife Karen's taken up running. Running. She used to love walking. Now she's running, people, running. So that's really exciting. And so it doesn't matter where you start. I just want to encourage you that the body can do amazing things. So hopefully I'll be keep doing some of the podcasting. What else am I doing? So some of you know, again, I got into the University of Oxford. I got accepted at Oxford into the business school. So I have been spending the last year doing a huge amount of study in crypto economics, macro finance, a lot of stuff like that, which I find really interesting. So I have another podcast over in that space. If anybody's interested in these sorts of things, it's called The Supply Side Podcast. The Supply Side Podcast. So that's what I've been doing. Trying to be a good dad, trying to be a good husband, just trying to grow. So look, I hope that's a blessing to you. I'll try to keep the episodes coming. You want to email me, just email me, jonathan@jonathandoyle.co. Everything else is on the website. So go hence, go forth, unhinge, unhook, decouple your emotional world from outcomes and from the idolatry of success. And hopefully we can all find a little bit more peace in these times. But be of good cheer, be encouraged, be blessed. What do we got to always remind ourselves of? That the best is ahead. It is not behind. God bless you, everybody. My name's Jonathan Doyle. This has been the kind of sort of daily podcast, and I'm going to have another message for you very soon. God.